Newly released documents provide the most detailed picture to date of the detainees held at Guantanamo Bay Naval Base. The Pentagon on Friday handed over more than 5,000 pages of transcripts and evidentiary statements from closed-door hearings that was in response to a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit filed by the Associated Press. Those papers reveal the names and nationalities and background for many of the detainees, information that the Pentagon has steadfastly withheld since the base was converted into a prison for enemy combatants. Corrine Heglin is a reporter for the National Journal. She's closely covered this story, and she's had a chance to examine these documents. So good you're with us in the studio.
Thank you.
First, what's in these documents? 5,000 pages.
It's a lot of information. We had last spring, the Associated Press succeeded in getting the basic information, the basic transcripts out of DOD, but the names and the nationalities weren't attached. And so you had a whole lot of words about a lot of anonymous men. Now that you have names and nationalities written in there, these people begin to become more real.
So they remove the redactions. You can actually see who they're talking about. Now, we should say this is not actually a complete picture. The documents only provide information about half of the detainees, and classified evidence is excluded as well. But based on what you've seen, what do we now know about this very secretive prison?
Based upon both these transcripts and an additional set of documents that DOD has been forced to file in individual court cases, we know that most of Guantanamo Bay was not captured on a battlefield, as you would traditionally define it. In fact, most of Guantanamo Bay does not appear to have been captured in Afghanistan. Most of them were caught in Pakistan by third parties and then turned over to the United States. Furthermore, most of the men are not accused of having taken part in hostilities against the United States. They are said instead to be associated with either al-Qaeda or the Taliban, but that association is sometimes very strong and sometimes very weak.
Can you give us an example of one case where the association seems to be strong and one where it would perhaps appear to be more tenuous?
There is one individual who was picked up within Pakistan during what looks like a U.S.-guided raid who appears to be an al-Qaeda financier. There is information and references to documents and money that he was intimately involved in. There is another example of a young man who was picked up in Pakistan for whom his only association came from the fact that he stayed within a guest house that was associated with the Taliban. He had no concrete ties to the Taliban regime, but he stayed in a house in which other individuals in the house were with the Taliban.
So the process reveals something about the tribunal, but also about the detainees. In some cases, the arguments that they try to make, that they should not be held as enemy combatants. In other cases, the arguments that they make saying, yes, I absolutely am an enemy combatant and proud of that fact. You see both cases.
Yes. There's one individual, for example, who, when he began his tribunal, he began chanting in Arabic. And the tribunal president asked him to please stop chanting, and he continued doing so anyway. And so they stopped the proceeding and removed him from the courtroom. Once he was gone, the tribunal reconvened to ask the translator, what was the detainee chanting? And he'd been chanting, may God grant me the strength to kill the infidels. But there are other cases in which the detainees say, no, this isn't right. For example, there is a Saudi who is accused of, among other things, having admitted that he is a terrorist.
And you're just paging through the actual transcript there.
Right. This is the officer speaking who was helping this detainee present himself. They told me that the statement that he had admitted he was a terrorist was taken out of context. They stated to me that his admission was made at a time when he was frustrated and extremely mad and being sarcastic. The detainee threw his hands up and said, all right, you got me, I'm a terrorist.
So there's a bit of sarcasm there.
Yes, there's a bit of sarcasm which was made during the interrogation, but when the government recorder later was presenting the evidence against the detainee, this sarcastic admission was written down as proof that he is indeed an enemy combatant. And so his interrogators were so upset that they sought out an officer to explain, that's not the case. And this is all documented within the transcript of this detainee's proceeding.
Now, the Pentagon has released these documents, has not yet commented on them, but I imagine that the U.S. military would say it's not surprising that many of the detainees would deny having any connection to al-Qaeda. They'd probably note that American prisons are full of prisoners who claim to be innocent.
That's absolutely correct. They say that many of the detainees in Guantanamo Bay are trained to lie. And certainly there are cases throughout the transcripts of individuals who claimed one story and then later another story came to light that wasn't nearly as favorable. They had been lying in the beginning. But on the flip side, after 4 years, if the only evidence you have against somebody is that he stayed in a Taliban house or he admitted he was a terrorist during a sarcastic interview, how long do you get to hold on to the person to find out if he's telling the truth? or if he's lying.
You've been trying to get your hands on this information for some time. Now that these documents have been released through this Freedom of Information request, what's the most important information that you see in these papers?
Simply the possibility of pulling together a more comprehensive picture of who's there. A lot of information has come out of Guantanamo in drips and drabs. Individual stories here and there brought out by the individual lawyers, brought out by reporters getting access to documents. With these transcripts, together with the court records, we can actually pull together a much more comprehensive information. So instead of having anecdotes about individuals, we can start to say, and this is what the entirety of the Bay looks like.
Corrine, thank you so much for coming in to talk to us.
Thank you for having me.
Corrine Heglin is a reporter for the National Journal. You can see the Guantanamo detainee documents for yourself at our website, npr.org.